What's going on, man? How are you doing this week?
Well, I was doing pretty good until my new bathtub arrived.
Yeah,
and
still with the remodel after all these.
With the remodel, but now it's going to be the re-remodel.
Oh no!
Apparently, because you know this is a lesson in getting your ducks in a row and being real sure before you pull triggers. And apparently, it's supposed to have four separate outlets on four separate circuits instead of two. Outlets on two circuits.
The bathtub has to have four outlets.
It's insane. It's got like four, it's got two big blowers in it. It's got an inline heater. It's got another blower for bubbles for, you know, just normal bubble bath bubbles.
That seems excessive for a tub.
It's pretty wild.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like Lula was like, you're insane. When I showed her what I wanted. You know,
that seems accurate.
But I told her, I said, you know, we're probably going to live with this thing for like 20 years, you know, so.
You might as well get a good one.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, oddly enough, I don't know if it should be called an interest or a fetish, but oddly enough, I've got this thing about designing bathrooms.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like I have like once in a while I'll have like these thoughts about how I would want my bathroom to be if I could just go from the ground up, you know, and let's just say that it needs a lot of room.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We don't need to get too personal.
Right. In the era of P. Diddy, I don't think people want to be in public talking about bathroom design.
I don't even think you want to flirt with that, my man.
Yeah.
It'll just get us canceled before we even get started here.
Yeah. Is even saying that now, like saying P. Diddy, is that cancelable offensive?
I think you have to wait like a certain amount of time before you can start making fun of things that are relevant, you know, too soon.
Well, I mean, you know, the actions alleged were like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, but we're just finding out.
Why on earth did he have 1,000 bottles of baby oil like now?
I don't even want to speculate, my man. I don't even want to go down that road.
I mean, that's a lot of skincare.
I don't even know what to say. It was ridiculous. The story that I keep hearing, and Calvin keeps telling me more every time I talk to him, I keep hearing new things. It's all horrible. Yeah.
Honestly, that's how we are. But that's how we are as humans, right? So we have this whole thing about, you know, making sex, procreation, beautiful, a beautiful thing, right? A union between two people. And then we have to have people that just come along and fucking ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the internet did that for me very young, but there you go.
As you know, used to be able, you could kind of, you know, you could get away with a shorter time than is advertised in porn videos. But now, you know, you got the P. Diddy standard.
I guess, man. I don't know how we got down this road. So maybe we should just.
You sound like you want to turn around and get off it real quick.
I think I do.
Where is the freeway?
Yeah. Am I blushing a little already? I'm Scott Hess, tax and business consultant.
I'm John Barton, small business owner. Remember the tortoise and the hare? Slow and steady wins the race.
We started Chertle Smith to help people start small businesses, providing information and resources to small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Build a solid foundation and forge your dreams.
Let's just jump right into it. How about that? So this week we're talking about our second to last step in phase two, which is choose a business structure. And there's a real reason why this is so late in the steps. Oftentimes people will rush out to form a business. They'll rush out to form an LLC. They'll get all their paperwork in line and then they just don't do it.
I think you need to explain what a business structure means in non-CPA talk.
So a business structure is forming your company, either an LLC, a corporation, getting your federal ID, operating agreement, all the ducks in a row to actually be a proper business within the state. And so we're going to go through kind of all the rules and regulations and what we recommend at Chertle Smith that you should do. And so a business structure would be like an LLC. But like I said, we kind of have this so late because so many people will rush to form their business. They'll rush to get an LLC. They'll rush to get their federal ID. It's like the first thing they do. And then by the time they get through all the planning step, they don't end up using it. And it's just a waste of money and time and energy.
And obligation, because there are, there's a certain way to close one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're
the proper one, they'll be after you. I had a client who was kind of an LLC junkie. He came to my office and he had like 30 LLCs, two of which he actually used. So he had to go through the process of filing old tax returns and shutting companies down and closing bank accounts. And it was just a mess. So it is in my opinion that you wait until this step. Once you've gone through all the planning, you've learned everything that there is to know, and you're getting ready to open, that you should actually go out and form your business structure. And it doesn't take that long to get your paperwork. It's really quick. You can just file with the Secretary of State. You apply for a federal ID and get your operating agreement. The only real timing structure that you got to wait for is if you're filing for any licenses or permits, you do need to have that paperwork in hand before you file for your license and permits.
So now some people might say, what is a, like a Delaware corporation or something like that? You got all these LLC outlets online where you can go and create one.
Mm-hmm.
I did that, you know, and then a little bit later down the road, you know, I kind of had a little bit of trouble getting information out of them. But what is the rules on that as far as filing in the state that you're in or doing it somewhere else?
So there is some benefit sometimes to file in a different state, but I highly recommend that you only do that under the care of like a tax professional or a lawyer. If you're doing a small business on your own, particularly if it's your first business or you're just getting started, there is no reason to file a Delaware LLC or a Delaware corporation. The big one today is Wyoming. Everybody wants to go out to Wyoming. The reasoning behind people filing in those states is they have favorable tax laws. And so an LLC doesn't have anything to do with your taxes per se. An LLC is a legal structure, as is a corporation. Now, those will determine kind of how you're taxed, but the more important part for the structure is the legal status. So if you're an LLC, it's called a limited liability company. Those can be formed in other states, but the big problem with that is if you get sued or you have a problem or you have to go to court for any reason, you have to go to that state. Mm-hmm. So if I file an LLC, you know, in Wyoming, and I have a legal matter that needs to be taken care of, I have to go find a lawyer in Wyoming, and then I have to go to Wyoming to deal with the court case. Not that Wyoming's a bad place to spend a couple weeks, but it's just an unnecessary cost. So I'm of the opinion, just file it in the state that you're going to be operating in. You're going to have to pay taxes in the state that you operate in anyway, and it just creates an unnecessary headache to go out of state. So we're going to talk about kind of the different structures real quick. An LLC is the most common for small businesses. It's a great one to be limited liability. And the reason that they call it limited liability is that it protects your personal assets against debts and liabilities against your company. So if you get sued, your LLC gets sued for some kind of issue, they can't go after your personal assets, usually. They're not able to sue you personally. Now, if there's gross misconduct or negligence on your part, they may be able to go out. Or if they do a thing called piercing the corporate veil, which we'll go over later. But an LLC does offer kind of a thin layer of protection, and it's a good idea for small business owners.
That started to sound dangerously close to a P. Diddy reference.
No. No.
Piercing the corporate veil?
Get that off your mind, man. It's a legal term. A legal term.
He's learning them legal terms too.
I bet he is right now. So it's important to note too that an LLC can be one member or multiple members. And that determines kind of what tax form you end up filing. So if you're a single member LLC, just one owner, and you form an LLC, you're just considered a sole proprietorship, which I'm sure you might've heard before. And the IRS considers that a disregarded entity, so they don't differentiate tax-wise between you and the business. If there are multiple people, then it becomes a partnership.
Okay, so now you said sole proprietorship, right? I think that's the one most people are familiar with.
Correct.
What is the major difference there? So for tax purposes, if I understood you correctly, if you're a single owner LLC, so the C in LLC is corporation, right?
Which Jeff Early... Well, it's company.
Company. Oh, is it company? Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. Which can have multiple partners, right? Which would require then the splitting up of the profits or whatever for tax purposes and all that, as much as I understand that. But what is So if they consider it the same for tax purposes, then is the liability protection pretty much the only reason then to have an LLC?
Correct. Yeah. And again, there's a difference between taxes and legal structure. And I think that's where people get hung up sometimes. They think a LLC is for tax purposes, and really it's your legal structure.
So what is the liability part there? So when you say, I think it's up to 50,000, right? Or something like
that? No. So it's... The limited liability is just that. It limits your liability.
Liability for what?
For debts and liabilities against your personal assets. That's all it is. So if your company, JB Cases, gets sued, they can't come after your house. They can't come after your personal car. They can't come after your TV.
Is there an amount, though, attached to that in some way?
No.
Okay. For some reason, I had the number 50,000 in my mind.
No, I don't know where you got that.
Yeah. So I don't either.
So if you're a single member LLC, like I was saying, you're considered a sole proprietor and it's considered a disregarded entity with the IRS. That has no effect on your legal structure. If you are a multi-member LLC, you get, you file a tax form 1065, which is a partnership return, and you get a K-1, which shows your income or losses and self-employment tax and stuff like that on there. So, basically, a K-1 is like a W-2 for a business. You know, if you work for a job, you get a W-2. It shows all your wages and how much is withheld. At the end of the year, the business, when it files its tax returns, provides its owners or members with a K-1. And that's used on your personal tax return. And so an LLC, when it's a single member or a partnership, is considered a pass-through entity. So all of the taxes are just sort of passed through down to the personal owner, and they file it on their tax return. It is important to note that you don't have to form an LLC for taxes. That's, again, it's a legal structure, not taxes. You can have a partnership that files the same tax form and it's not an LLC, it's just a partnership. The next one we're going to talk about a little bit is LLPs or PLLCs. So these are real specific. They're called limited liability partnerships or professional limited liability companies. And these are really only used for professionals. So if you're forming like a law firm or an architect firm or accounting, or engineers, things like that, doctors, they all use these when they form their little practices. And typically you have to have a license. Every state's a little different, so look into it. And some don't even have LLPs, some have PLLCs, some have both. But the big advantage of that is if one of the members of this group is sued because of malpractice or negligence or something, it protects the other four or the other group. So if you have five and one of the members is sued, the other four are safe from being sued for malpractice. So that's really the way to, the reason to put that together is if you have like a professional license, it protects your professional license and still offers the benefits of a regular LLC.
It protects you from your partners.
It does, yeah. But it's only for professional services.
Right.
So only if you have like a license and are offering professional, you know, things. The next kind of thing we're going to talk about is corporations. So there's two types of corporations, an S corporation and a C corporation. An S corporation gets really complicated, but a lot of times an LLC will take what's called an S corp election. So they stay an LLC legally, but they take an S corp election to be taxed as an S corp. That is what your company does, JB Cases, and it's what my company does. But it's real tricky. You got to have some type of tax professional guiding you, because when you set that up, you become an officer of the company. And as an officer, you have to receive a reasonable salary. And what that reasonable salary is difficult to determine. It depends on your industry and it depends on how much money you're making.
But a tax professional would have a chart or something? Or?
Well, they'll just know. Okay. Usually we do it as a percentage, unless you're making too little, and then it becomes like a regular salary. Then we look at the industry standard, because the IRS...
It's never comforting, Scott, when you're telling business guys things like voodoo magic is how we determine the cost of something.
It's not voodoo magic. It's just not like a fixed amount. So, and I hate to say a fixed amount because I don't want somebody to go out there, but a good example is like if you are own a retail store and that retail store has 200,000 in net income, we would maybe say 75,000 is a reasonable salary. So you would get $75,000 as salary, and the other $125,000 would be distributed to you.
Yeah, but is that more based on feeling, or is there actually some sort of a guidance or a
track? So the guidance from the IRS is pretty vague, and it says that a reasonable salary is considered the value that would ordinarily be paid for like services by like enterprises under like circumstances.
And that's Has anybody ever had a reasonable audit from the?
So we have had many audits. In fact, clients have come and to me with S corps, and they either didn't pay themselves the salary or they didn't pay themselves enough salary. And the IRS will come in and say, "You didn't charge enough. We're going to go back and make you do more." And the reason is because an S corp distributions are not subject to self-employment tax, and self-employment tax is like 15.3% right off the top. So if you have an LLC that's a single member or a partnership, you get that K-1, whatever your earnings are, you have to pay 15%.
So it's kind of like they want to sort of have some kind of ratio that makes sense. Like kind of like when you get tips, right? And they're not going to accept if you declare that you made less than 15% in tips, for example.
Right.
Or I think it's like 12% or something like that, but it's like, you're going to get, and if you do that too often, then they're going to think to themselves, you know, there's probably something not right here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can assess more. But I think that if I remember right, that's kind of how it was with tips. So basically they're wanting people to have as much gross income as minimally, you know, reasonable.
Yeah.
And then go from there to get their income tax in lieu of the employment taxes.
Self-employment taxes.
Self-employment tax.
Yeah, and self-employment tax is basically just your FICA taxes. So like when you get a W-2, you know, they take Social Security and Medicare out of your check. The employer or the company that you're working for has to match that amount. And so total, what they withheld and what they match equals 15.
So when that money goes into the treasury that's not being paid for FICA,
mm-hmm. No, the self-employment tax does go to FICA. So
no, but also, but you said if it's an S corp, then there's no self-employment tax. Am I right?
Well, correct. Your earnings on the S corporation are not subject to self-employment tax, but then you do have to receive that reasonable salary, which does have FICA taxes associated with it.
Oh, so okay, I get it now.
Basically, the IRS just wants their money,
right?
Regardless,
and you're still paying self-employment tax.
You're still paying
either way,
but it is a great tax saving. So, in that example I gave before, you know, of $200,000 and then $75,000, that $125,000 of distributions not subject to self-employment tax, that saves you about $19,000 in taxes.
I got it now. So it's not treated as income necessarily.
It's
for the purpose of taxes.
It's treated as ordinary income. So your ordinary regular tax rate accounts to it, but not self-employment. Again, this gets super complicated.
Sounds like it.
And you really need to have a tax professional if you're going to be doing the S-corp election. I usually recommend to my clients that they should come to me and we can start discussing this as an option when they're making around $80,000 to $100,000 in net income. That's when it starts to kind of make sense for the S-corp election.
So for a typical business, so an average business, would you say, what kind of gross income does $80,000 represent?
So that really, again, depends on the industry, but probably in the neighborhood of $500,000. You know, if you have a gross profit margin of 20% in most industries, you're doing pretty good. My company, like I'm a service industry, it's much higher. It's like 50%. So maybe I took my S corp election when my gross revenue was $300,000. And so other people might do differently. You know, it just depends on the industry. I feel like a lot of times you're looking for specific answers when it comes to taxes, and I'm never going to be able to give one. You have to look at this like real. You have to look at every industry. You have to look at each taxpayer and each.
Yes,
and it's all different.
I know the IRS says there's a lot of factors to consider.
Well, there's a lot of little gray area. Like what the heck does a reasonable salary mean? I mean, it's nonsense, their answer, and they leave it like that because if they want you to pay too much. But then if you pay too little, they'll come and audit you and you'll be in trouble.
So one of the owners here in town, he had a different pool room. And apparently the Able Commission came back and said that in their opinion, he should have sold $30,000 more worth of liquor.
Yeah.
In, you know, a 6-month period, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they were going to charge him as if he had sold that much and then charge him the applicable tax.
Right.
And I was like, how can they possibly like do
well,
that?
So it's this exact kind of thing that they're saying, you know, like circumstances. So they take the average of other pool rooms, their size, and they average out the sales of each of them. And then if you're below that, they want to come look at you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm, you know, not to get political or anything, but that tilts me a little bit more towards the government stay out of my life conservative side.
I'm with you a little on that. But the thing that they're looking for is that if they think he was down by 30%, they think he's selling that out the back door.
No, I understand that. And if they have evidence of that, that's fine. But if there's no evidence of it, then just assessing it seems excessive.
Well, it's the same thing that the IRS does and really all government agencies. They'll look at these percentages because it's just too big. The world is way too big and too many businesses to really try to focus and investigate each one. So they go through and look at these percentages. And if you're off by like a little bit or you're not reasonable compared to like industries, then they'll come out at you.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bones are in.
So basically, if you're going to play the odds, but it's probably better to play by the rules so that you don't ever have to worry about it.
Well, and again, a tax professional can really help you make sure that you got everything in line. So that's an S-Corp election. You can also just be an S-Corp. The ticket to an S-Corp is you can issue preferred stock or one kind of stock to your employees or to other members. And it's really S-Corporation tax-wise is really good. And the LLC with the election kind of gives you the best of both worlds. Your LLC structure with being taxed as an S-Corp, it's about the best for small business owners right now.
Now, I've often wondered something. So nonprofits obviously is not supposed to make a profit, I guess, mm-hmm. as says it in the title. But are there people who you would say are basically running a business as a nonprofit?
Not in sense of a nonprofit, but there are people who run businesses at a loss intentionally, and then they make money elsewhere. So like, for example, our oil company that I'm a little part of, Hess Oil, we actually lose money every year on the operations side. We lose money for the pumpers and the health insurance and the employees and everything. That company loses money, but we all make money as royalty interest holders in the oil wells. So we get paid and everybody has to put a little bit of money in to keep the operations
going. So wait a minute. I seem to remember when I was a kid that there was a Hess Oil with a dinosaur.
Yeah, that was Sinclair.
Okay.
But there is a very large Amerada Hess, and they have Hess gas stations and stuff. Sometimes when traveling, I pretend that I own those, but I really
don't. Okay, I just wondering. I was like, wait a minute. Am I sitting here with a guy that's slumming as an accountant?
No. Ours is a very small company. We only do like vertical wells out in Western Kansas, and it's just an independent one. But my great-grandpa named it way back in the day. So I think we've either just flown under the radar or they don't care.
I think it's cool that there's still kind of like independent companies like that out there, you know, drilling wells.
A lot of them get bought up and we almost lost our company in the, I think it was like when the oil crashed in like the early 90s or something, everything was real bad. Oil got down to like $9, but anyway, that's a story for another time. S corporation. So, and then the next one is C corp. So, C corp is the classic corporation. Lots of companies, big companies are corporations. I really, really strongly advise not to be a corporation unless you're under the guidance of a tax professional. The taxes are wild. There's a lot more regulations and specific things you have to do with the C corporation. You should not try to do it yourself. And really, there's no tax advantage. Most oftentimes you're actually taxed twice. The company itself has to pay income taxes while, you know, an S corp and a partnership and a regular LLC and all that, those are pass-through entities. C corporations have to pay their own taxes, and then the dividends and payments that they give to their shareholders, they have to pay taxes on too. So you get double taxed. It's a real
mess. Why are there
So
C corporations.
The advantage of corporations is the legal structure. It's a completely separate entity. It lives on its own. It's entirely its own entity completely separate, and you're a shareholder of it if you own stock. The other kind of big advantage of a C-Corp is you can issue multiple kinds of stock. So you can have common stock or preferred stock, and it helps give employees some ownership into companies if you want to do that. It also helps when you go public. And
is this the kind of the idea that corporations are people?
Yeah. Yeah, corporations are kind of their own thing. They're like its own person out there, and it's completely separate from the.
So is that to kind of say that the corporation? I'm a little bit off track here, but the corporation becomes its own kind of entity,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that that at that point no one person controls it. Or
well, that's sort of when you go public and you get like a board and have lots of shareholders.
So you can be a corporation without. Be privately held.
There are a lot of people who have small corporations. In fact, back in the day, there was a thing about everybody needed to incorporate, you know, put your house in a corporation, put your cars in corporate.
Yeah, what about that? Separate. Clear that up for us real quick.
It's a long time ago, before my time of being an accountant, and so I don't know all the exact ins and outs, there were some advantages. Right now, the big advantage is LLCs taking the S-Corp election. Back then, it was really good to incorporate. The tax rates were very low. It was very favorable for the individual to incorporate themselves, basically, and have all their assets and income run through a corporation. Right now, it is not as favorable. So that's basically it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't get into trust and sovereign citizenry and all that.
No, this is just specifically for
continue, please. I'm getting me off track.
So the next thing you had mentioned before is nonprofits. So a nonprofit, we don't really talk too much about not-for-profit companies since we're kind of a small business company, but it is good to know the 501c3 is a designation that you can get on your Secretary of State website. You apply for nonprofit company, and then you have to file what's called a Form 1023, and you can file it on this website, pay.gov, and you apply for not-for-profit status. And then once you get that approved, you're a nonprofit.
So the reason I asked earlier about running a business as a nonprofit, for example, was my thought is there may be somebody who, you know, maybe they want to do some good in some way, mm-hmm. and they set up a nonprofit, but they also pay themselves a salary out of what comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, they've set this thing up that is going to then pay themselves for their living expenses.
Yeah, so you can receive a salary if you set up a nonprofit, absolutely. It has to be reasonable. You can't get crazy with it, otherwise that you might lose your status. But receiving, you know, a regular salary, that's
right.
Similar.
So the other aspects of that I wanted to get to was in every other way, though, right, they would be similar to running a business, right? They would be buying, procuring stuff, they'd potentially selling stuff, maybe merch or whatever.
Yeah, you can do all of that stuff. Mostly, though, they run off donations or grants from the government. It is how a nonprofit really functions. You can get, write grants to the government, you can get funded, and then take in donations, and that's the difference. So when you receive income, it's actually considered a donation from the people. Even if you sell stuff, sometimes you can consider that a donation, and you send the customers or whoever donated a letter at the end of the year saying how much they donated to the 501c3, and then they can deduct that from their taxes.
Now, what happens, I know we're getting a little off track still, but what happens when a nonprofit makes a profit? In other words, they just have more money than they spent.
So the only real big difference there is that a typical company, if it has excess, gains, can distribute those to the owner. A nonprofit can't distribute those to their owner. Now, they might be able to pay like some bonus checks at the end of the year, but you can't just write a check as here's the profit we made.
Well, no, yeah, but what are they? Does it just roll over to the next year and just part of their operating budget?
They need to spend it for something else, or maybe they're, a lot of times nonprofits will save a bunch of money for a larger goal. So yeah, every year they might make a little bit of money and they just keep saving it.
Okay.
So, and it just all has to be accounted for where the money goes on when you do your financials.
So long as the ledgers match up.
There you go. One thing I mentioned before that I want to talk about is what's called piercing the corporate veil. Have you ever heard that term before?
I had heard it before, a little while ago.
Yeah. Piercing the corporate veil is when you intermingle your personal expenses with your business expenses. And you're in a lawsuit of some kind, they will use that as an excuse to say your LLC status is not valid. You are intermingling your expenses. Therefore, there's no difference between you and your business, and they can come after your personal assets. So it is absolutely vital as a company that you separate your finances. You have to have a separate business bank account. Do not pay your personal mortgage or car payment or utility bills or food or whatever for personal use out of your business account. This is always annoying to ask, but if you're liking this content, please like and subscribe. It's the best way for us to get more followers and more people engaged in this great business content. You can also follow us on all socials at TurtlesmithOK and find us at turtlesmith.com.
These tigers are fright.